Yeah, maybe. Thank you. No thanks to Allie. She walked right by it.
Would you like a cup of water?
Please, yes, thank you. You rub feet too?
Sure.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll have some fun today. I titled this message, Just a Checkup. Just a Checkup. Nothing too deep, nothing too serious. Other than if you find yourself in that last song toward the end and you don't know what to do, well, pay attention. We're going to talk about that. This is a checkup sermon. Interesting. Go ahead and put that first slide up, Ray. Yesterday, I was pretty busy. Ray typically texts whoever's preaching Saturday morning, and usually it's something like, what's up? And it's not really a question, but we know what the question is. It's usually, what are you preaching on? So I didn't know. I didn't see the text till, I don't know, it was probably close to 1:30. Did you get it, Ray? Coming up? You're working on it? Okay, he'll get it. So anyways, so Ray and I were texting back and forth, and I texted him at about 1:30 that, hey, I had just come in, just saw the text. Being the funny guy that I am, I said, I have no idea what I'm preaching, but it'll be from the Bible. And so Ray texted me back, ooh, thank you for narrowing it down. And I texted him back. I said, well, that's the same thing I said to Holy Spirit. Thank you for narrowing it down. And then he texted me what would later become the catalyst for my sermon. Okay, you keep working. I don't need it. I don't need it for a while, so you're good. He texted me what it's on IFR at this point or something like that. It's all IFR at this point. Does anyone have any idea what IFR is in here? Just so I can have a sense. If I were to say it's on IFR at this point, does anybody have an idea what that is? Nope. Ray does, of course. IFR is an aviation term. It's a flight term. So we're going to go to flight school today. Now that I said it's an aviation term, does anybody have any idea what IFR means? Still no understanding of what that is. IFR is instrument rating, basically. It's instrument rules for aviation, which means you basically close your eyes and you better be able to fly from the instruments. It's a situation in which a pilot cannot see outside. There is nothing to see. They're either in the fog, they're in the clouds, they're in the dark, or it's what pilots would call being in the soup. It is just a mess. And IFR is a training that pilots go through that teaches them to learn how to fly simply looking at the instruments. And so when Ray texted me that, I didn't think much about it. And literally within about 10 minutes, I'm asking Holy Spirit. He just is like, well, I want to talk to you about IFR. So he starts to just kind of download some things to me about instrument flying. Interesting enough, I like this. I don't know if you guys all knew this, but we sold it a couple years ago, but I had an airplane for about 6-7 years in business. And I got to ride up front a lot with the pilot, and I got to learn a lot of stuff, and it was a lot of fun. My brother Gabe swears he could probably land one, but I wouldn't want to be in there when he tries to land it. But he spent more time up front than I did, but we did have a plane. And it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot from our pilot, and he was a really good pilot. So the Lord started talking to me about IFR versus VFR. So now that you know that IFR is instrument rules or instrumentation rating, what do you think VFR is? If IFR is we're looking at instruments, what would you think VFR is? What's the V stand for? Visual. Who said that? Yeah, visual. So to be VFR rated means that's a lower rating than instruments. If it's visual, you can basically jump in a plane as long as you can see. Then your risk is you can fly and take off, and as long as you can fly around and physically see the runway and physically not in clouds and that the certain weather conditions apply, then you can go fly. But that license does not allow you to take off if there is weather in the area. You're not allowed to fly because once visibility goes away, now again, we're talking spiritual application. Apply this, the whole sermon, apply this to our spiritual application, all right? Because of course I'm going to. This is really not an aviation school. Just so you know, I don't fly planes and I don't have a pilot's license and I just think it's cool to be in planes. There's a certain characteristic that, did you get the picture yet? You still working on it? All right. There's a certain characteristic to aviation that I realized very, very quickly that was nothing like anything else I had ever done in my life. And I can't think of another, maybe one or two other industries that even have this component in it. But there's something unique about aviation that really focuses everybody immediately. Do you know what it is? It's really simple.
Gravity.
Gravity, yes. Yes, that actually wasn't what I was looking for, but that is the answer. It is. That is exactly correct. I don't care whether you fall from 20,000 feet or 200, it's a problem, okay? It really doesn't matter. Like, when you get in that plane and you leave the runway, it's very serious. Like, there's no cushion for air. Like, there just is zero cushion. And every time we would, the entire industry, all the pilots, all the ground people, and even those who kind of are close in it, when you climb on, you are understanding that once we leave the ground, like this isn't like, hey, if something breaks, it might be okay. Like it is as close to reality of life and death as we get, right? So I mean, and spiritually, this is what the Lord started to kind of apply. Like Christianity should be like that. I wish Christianity was more like aviation, where we really took it as serious as those pilots do. Because when you fire the plane up and you go through the checklist, the pilot's understanding, if I miss anything, even if I get 150 feet off the end of this runway, which looks like we can just, you know, jump out and we crash, it's possible that everybody on the plane's done, right? So it's got a surreal, as fun as it is and as nice as it is, and we all like to fly and get places fast, it's very, very surreal for those in charge. The mistakes and the ability to narrow things up and say, get the garbage out of my way. This is why I was thinking about Christianity. If I just get the garbage out of my way, because I am waking up dealing with life and death. By the way, you like my shirt? This is the first time out of the closet for this shirt, I'm positive. Like this is, I had on a gray flannel this morning, and boots, and Linda said, boy, you're looking awful wintry today. And so I thought, wintry? Like she said, it's 74 degrees outside. I'm like, so she laughed, and I went through the closet. I didn't really have any spring color shirts, so I found this one. This was better than the gray. But what's that? Well, thank you. But I don't know if I like this shirt, though. It's crowding my neck here. So are you getting it, Ray? Are we done? I'm going to go on without it. I'm going to forget that there's a PowerPoint. I actually had a PowerPoint. It's pretty nice. It's all right. I'm just going to act like it's no big deal. Couple funny stories real quick. These are not funny stories, but they are funny stories. We were on final approach to Montreal. We were about 2 miles out, and we were a couple thousand feet up. And the pilot and Gabe were up front, and me and one of our business guys was in the back. His name is Jacob. And somewhere around 1,500 feet, this horrendous noise fills the cabin. Now that's the last thing, like this is the life and death thing, right? This is like you're just like immediately you're sitting up. The interesting thing is the guys in the front had Bose headphones on, so they couldn't hear it. You could tell they were looking, but Jacob and I are like whatever. And the pilot, he spins around, kind of funny guy, but he spins around and looks at Jacob and says, do you hear that? What is that? And so Jacob looks at me after the pilot turns around, he's like with a few explicitives. He's like, he's the pilot? He's asking me what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And so we land. What had happened is the front window, Gabe had knocked the latch on it. So when we depressurized, the window came open, and it was just like a car window coming open. So it was, we got on the ground and laughed. But there's an intensity. What I'm trying to transfer to you is, do you get it? Oh, look at that. So Christianity is a lot like flying. Thank you. Good job, Ray. Nice job. Christianity is a lot like flying. You in 2 Corinthians, or you're in 1 Corinthians there.
I didn't say I could go to the next slide yet.
That's good. Okay. So Write this down or remember this. Why VFR? VFI is visual flight rules. First and foremost, for those who are rated for visual flight, it's very simple. It's visual. It's absolutely visual. We'll talk here in just a minute about why that's important in Christianity. Visual flight rules, it's visual. Number two, because the second problem to move from visual to instrument rating, when you move to instrument rating, there's a physiology balance that takes place. What I mean is this, is there is, we were flying one time and we were going through some clouds, and my pilot said, pay attention, when we come out of these clouds, you are going to think we're going one direction, and I promise you we're going to be going another direction. I said, well, that's impossible, because I know right where we are, and we haven't changed. We literally went in, we were banking to the right going up, and we came out of those clouds. I thought we had completely went the opposite direction, and we hadn't changed anything. But for whatever reason, the lack of visual contact messes with the body. It messes with the senses. And again, spiritual application here, lack of visual capability messes with, so in training, we'll get to this in just a second, there's a significant training that takes for a pilot to go from visual rated to instrument rated. Third thing that happens in this particular thing is, of course, emotional balance. The minute you can't see something and you're in a life and death situation, your brain starts to do weird stuff, okay? And you start to get in panic mode and things really start to take off. Instrument rating is basically this. You can fly a plane without seeing anything and not succumb to those imbalances. So what an instrument rated does, and Ray, you and I were talking about this, how do they train pilots? When they're first training pilots to go from visual to instrument, sometimes what do they have to do? Put a hood over their head. Exactly. They basically just say, you can't even look out the windows. Like, they just take the windows of the airplane away, and basically you can't go back. Why? Because the human being, their first instinct is to go back to those physical senses. They want to get to the physical senses. We're going to get to some scriptural stuff, I promise. With an instrument rating and what is called an instrument landing system, a pilot can land a plane down to 200 feet visibility with less than a quarter mile distance. So that is essentially the tower, the steeple out here is roughly 35 feet, I would say, 35 feet. So let's just say that four or five of these steeples stacked on top of each other, a pilot can land with only 200 feet visibility. Now, I can tell you, I've never landed with 200 feet visibility. I'm not sure anyone in here has, because it is so low. When you come out of the clouds at 300, you feel like you're almost about to do a nosedive into the dirt. Like, it is really scary. And so here's the point. Visible instrument rating in terms of a trained pilot, we're going to apply this spiritually, right? A trained pilot can fly without seeing anything all the way down to what most people would bail. Like, they just stay in it. Why? Because they trust the instruments. They can go all the way to 200 feet with less than a quarter mile visibility. That is very, very nerve-wracking. I don't know if you've ever flown and you've come down through clouds in a plane and you just like, this is never going to end. Like, are we ever going to come out of these clouds? You start to get anxious about it. Even on a big airliner, you start to get anxious. Like, when are we coming out of the clouds? Because you can't see. If you've never flown and you're not in that and you can't see, it gets kind of gets uptight. Spirit readiness. We've been talking about spirit readiness, and you're in 1 Corinthians. And here's the Lord dropped this in, and we're going to jump into actual scripture here. Here is the foundational piece, the difference between visual and instrument rating that Christians, this one's a doozy. I'm just telling you, this is a doozy of a thing that I'm about to say, but it's very basic, it's very simple. The pilot must stop trusting his or her senses. Did you pick that up? The pilot must stop trusting his or her senses. The Christian, in order to move, the Christian, in order to go with God, the Christian, in order to mature, must stop trusting their senses. Your senses are telling you nothing about God. I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Your senses are not what you should use to figure out where God's at. Your senses are not what you should use to measure how things are going. Your senses are not to be used to go get on the news to find out what you should talk to your coworkers about. That is what's messing up a whole bunch of stuff. Your senses are not telling you anything but the same thing that a pilot's senses tell him in that moment. And his senses actually become his enemy, and he crashes the plane. When he gets in a situation of pressure and panic, when he gets in a situation where what's called the soup, when the weather's not good and the surroundings aren't good and, oh my gosh, all this stuff's going bad, when that pressure starts to come, if the pilot relies on his senses, he's doomed. If the Christian, after watching 24-hour news cycle, and the Christian after going to work, and the Christian after stopping at the restaurant, and the Christian after stopping down at the grocery store, comes out of there and they're like, oh boy, this feels like pressure. If you rely on your senses, you're doomed as a Christian. It's not what the fix is. I'm going to give you what the fix is. I'm going to tell you what the pilot has to look at, what he has to do. Remember, the song was, when we don't know what to do, what should we do? That's why this is a checkup. Because I just have heard a lot of discussion about, boy, there's just this Christianity pressure and people are kind of wringing their hands. Like, what do we do? Is it too late? What are we supposed to do here? We'll talk about that just a little bit. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is the key part right here. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Your natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. As a Christian, in order to, again, we're doing a checkup, right? This is just like going in and there's really nothing wrong. We just sometimes have to do a checkup. And for me, this was for me this week. The Lord's just been kind of doing checkup with me. I mean, in all reality, and when Ray texted me that, the Lord just said, hey, let's just do some basic checklist. Like, get your checklist out just like a pilot would, and let's go through a checklist. The first checklist for me here is that the same as a pilot has to do. I have to understand the very basics that I cannot measure spiritual things in my life by my physical senses, which means I'm not going to get what God's doing from the news. I'm not going to get what God's doing down at the workplace. We'll talk about where we do get these things, but you can't rely on the natural senses. Otherwise, you're not going to be in a good spot. And if you have, then we just have to move from it. This is just a scripture that basically says the Spirit of God's bringing those things, not natural man. I wrote down a few things here. Stop trusting our senses. Stop following or reacting to your senses. Stop gossiping and talking to everyone that will listen about what your senses are saying. Stop letting your senses control you. Like, this doesn't do us any good. When we spend 80% of our time complaining about the government, it doesn't do any good. Seriously, that's just emotion. That's just senses. It's not fixing anything. All we're doing is just focusing on the problem and elevating the thing. And all that does is just create panic. Listen, pilots don't... So the answer today is not stop trusting your senses, although that's the foundational piece. But I can promise you this, you can't do that. You can't just walk out of here and go, oh, I'm going to just stop trusting my senses. And neither do pilots. Pilots don't just wake up one day and say, okay, I think I'm done with this visual license. I'm just going to go ahead and get the instrument and then just walk in and say, somebody write me. No, they don't. There's hundreds, usually hundreds of hours, if not thousands of hours, to train to get from visual to instrumentation rating, right? And so they have to learn to transfer, I love this term, we have to transfer our trust, we have to transfer our trust from what we're feeling, from what we're seeing, we have to transfer that to something else. And so now we're going to talk about what we're going to transfer that to. And I'm on my last page, so this is going to go pretty quick, which is good. Ray, do you have the, let's see if we can flop. If we can, it's no big deal. I can work without, with or without it. Sex up. You guys know who that is? That's Joseph. That's my son. So he's really not flying. He's in the passenger seat. But you can see the dash. There you go. That's what a pilot has to stare at when you can't see. Now, it's interesting when you look at that picture, because that's not fun. there's not a lot of fun in that. But I can tell you this, when you're in the clouds, that's a lot of fun. Like that, like when you can't see, then you're like, that's very comforting. Like to have that when you can't see is very, very comforting. I know you know this. This is not a big jump. Okay, we're back to the basics. These are our gauges. Okay? That's a pilot's gauge. He's got to stare at that. He's got to read, right? That right there is as complicated to a lot of you as this is to a lot of people. Like, figuring out how to read that's about the same as some people telling me, how in the world do you get in this and figure out how to govern your life by the Bible? But we're going to pull out a few simple things. The first gauge that we look at, go ahead and, I love this next gauge. Go ahead, Ray, hit the next one. This is literally what the gauge is called in the airplane. It's called the attitude gauge. And it is the number one, it happens to be the number one gauge also in the Christian's life. It is the attitude gauge. And this one here is in the middle. If you look at the middle gauge right there, that's the one. All the other ones are just kind of images of that particular gauge. That gauge is kind of like dead center, and it's the one, the funniest thing about that one, it's the main one that all the time will tell you something different than what you're actually feeling. Like you will be feeling that we're going right, and that thing's saying that we're going straight. You have to choose right then. The pilot has to train himself to do what? What does he have to train himself to do? Go ahead, Miss Group. Follow the instruments. Believe what? Believe the instrument over what?
What you're feeling.
What you're feeling. That's not easy. That's no small feat. Like this is no small feat for the Christian or the pilot. Like this is no small feat when we are in messiness, when we can't see, when our flesh is wanting to scream out, when our flesh is wanting to go, oh my world, I mean, the whole thing's coming apart. All the pressure, all of our flesh is wanting to scream. What do we have to do? This is a checkup. All we have to do is we have to look at the gauge, and then we have to say, that says something different than what my flesh is saying. It says something different than what my flesh is saying. And you immediately have attention. Which one of those are you going to believe? Philippians. By the way, when you see the screen, you can start turning that direction. Philippians 4:9. I only have four of these, so we'll whip through these pretty quick. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Turn over to Philippians 4, 8 and 9. This is the attitude gauge. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The number one gauge for a pilot when he's disoriented, when he's seeing illusions, when his body is freaking out and telling him one thing, his number one gauge in the airplane is, I need to focus and study the attitude gauge. And my pilot would always be like, they train you, when you start to panic, just focus on that gauge. Just do nothing but stare at that gauge and make yourself believe what that gauge is telling you. Because if you can get your mind, if you can close out all of the other stuff, you can close out the messiness, and you can get that, you can get your mind to go, that gauge is right. That thing is right. That thing is telling me what I need to know. Then everything stops swirling, everything stops spinning, and the first thing you do is go, okay, I know where the airplane's at. I know where I'm at. I know where things are at. This scripture here is telling us what to think on. It's telling us what our attitude should be. It's saying, think on these things, and the result will be the peace of God in your life. Again, just check up. These things aren't overly complicated. Attitude's the number one. Gauge number two. Turn over to Psalms 148. Gauge number two. Did it come up? Yes. I didn't put on there what an altimeter does. Anybody want to guess? Height. I heard it. Second thing that a pilot wants to know, of course, is what position is the aircraft in? Second thing the pilot needs to know, and this is pretty much an order of priority, second thing the pilot needs to know when he can't see, because you're in a plane, how high am I? Like, hopefully I'm not 5 feet off the ground. Hopefully I'm high enough over any of the nearest mountains that might be high. So altitude is a major piece in this. This is interesting. A lot of these things, Lord, it was so interesting when I flew. There's such a perspective. It's a God thing. I mean, altitude, you've heard me preach on this before, but altitude is the thing that gives us perspective, right? So like when you're buried in your problem, when you're buried in your business, when you're buried in your family, and then I was buried in something, it wasn't too long ago, and I just had this messy day, and I came home, and I was probably pouting on myself and crying around about some stuff, and I came in and grabbed some supper, and Lynn was watching a movie that I swore the graphics were from 1962 or whatever, and I'm like, what is that? I went in and sat down, and it was the movie about Corrie ten Boom, and I sat there for an hour and a half, and when I was done, I had no problems. No, seriously. I mean, seriously, I had zero problems after an hour and a half of watching Corrie ten Boom movie. Like, it was done. It was over. It was just over that fast. Thank the Lord that I'm in a spot that he can just get my attention that fast. Whining, bawling about work and blah, 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 blah. Sit down for an hour and watch the story of Corrie ten Boom. I got no problems. Like, I'm good. Like, not complaining for another 6 months probably. Okay? But it's just perspective. Right? Altitude is perspective. Altitude is understanding that me and my little world is not everything. Amen? Psalms 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens and heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commandeth, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise ye the Lord. Altitude measurement is all about praise. Your praise equals how high you will be. Not church praise. Church praise is easy. I'm talking about real praise. I'm talking about hard praise. I'm talking about when you don't feel like it, praise. I'm not talking about songs and music. I'm talking about opening your mouth when everything is wrong and saying, I'm going to praise, period. Right? That's the altimeter in our lives. That's how high you are. That's what this started out, right? Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Why does praise have an altitude part to it? Because God's not down here in our problem. Like, He's up. He's got perspective. He's not down here wallowing around. He'll come down and get you, but He wants you to come up where He's at. He wants you to have perspective. He wants you to understand that there's a Corrie Ten Boom probably right now in the world. Like, that's an old story. She died in 2000, but the thing that lifted me out of that almost immediately was not about Corrie Ten Boom and her problem, but I immediately thought, there's probably multitude of Corrie Ten Booms right now living in the world that I don't even know about, that are stuck in a prison somewhere, that are being taken advantage of, that just have life that's not fair. So what do I have to complain about? So thank God for what I have. And that just go right into praise. Thank God for what I have, and how can I go help someone else that might be in that situation in the world? These are basic stuff, right? This is just a checkup. Number one checkup, check your attitude. Number two checkup, check your altitude. Right? Check your altitude. Third one. Third one, airspeed. Have you ever taken off in an air? I don't know how many of you fly. I flew a lot, and so unfortunately, whenever you take off from an airport, sometimes you'll feel like the pilot throws a throttle back, and it feels like you just stopped in midair. You ever felt like, oh my word, is something major wrong? Like, what's going on? And it's like you feel like you're stopped, but yet you're probably still going like 150 miles an hour. But your body feels, because the thrust sets you back, and then you adjust to the thrust, but then so everything in you is basically leaning forward into the thrust. So you've adjusted to it, but he's not slowed the plane down. Then the minute he slows the plane down, it's like you fall forward because you're already moving at that pace. And so airspeed, I like this. This is one that jumped out of me on all of these four. This one just hit me like a rock, and maybe this is for me. Psalms 46, you're in Psalms right there. Psalms 46. Does anybody know what this says before you get there? Psalms 46, 10. Be still. I don't need to read anymore. What was that, Steph? You said the rest of the verse. Be still and know that I'm God. What is the Christian's airspeed? Be still. Be still. Luke chapter 10. Martha, Martha, you are so worried about so many things. Mary has chosen the good part, and it's needful. He basically said, Martha, you need to be still because it's needful. Doesn't mean serving's not important. Doesn't mean work's not important. But the Christian's airspeed should be to be still. This is the checkup. I love talking to people. When I say be still, you know what their question is? Well, how long? Like, how long do I have to be still? Well, that's different for everybody. Is there an inner stillness and an outer busyness? Sure. Yeah, I find places where I can be still. Like, I like to farm. So you put me in a tractor, which may be work to some other people. You put me in a tractor, and I'm almost not in the tractor. Like, I'm almost immediately conversing with the Lord. Like, if I'm in the seat of a tractor going across the field, that's where I got this sermon, as a matter of fact. So Ray texted me at 1:30. I spent the next 2 hours in a tractor, and boom, I had a sermon. So it was good. So my still spot doesn't mean I'm not necessarily moving, but there's really critical, though, that I do have to sit down. I have to stop physically and emotionally, right? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of the host is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In a world that's running, I mean a world that's just running at an ungodly pace, it is rare to find someone who knows how to get still. And I'm being serious about this. I got people around me that have been Christians a long time. They have no idea how to get still. They just don't. They're in a frantic. You have to get still. It's the pace, it's the airspeed of the church. Check your attitude. Check your altitude. and check the pace in which you're going about life. And the last one, Ray, we're going to make it. Proverbs chapter 3. There's really nothing super complicated about this. I was encouraged by this. Yesterday, the Lord just built me up, and I was happy about this. Gauge number 4? No? Okay. Well, before Ray gets it, it's the heading gauge. So a pilot's going to look at, he's going to look at that attitude, where the plane is at, what is my altitude, what is my airspeed, and then the fourth thing he's got to keep an eye on is direction. I mean, those other three things don't tell him direction. They only tell him that the current status of the plane, but the heading tells him where he's going to be at, right? So if he's off on heading, he could be heading south when he needs to be heading north. So the heading gauge is the last one. Proverbs 3, chapter 5. Do you? Yeah, there you go. So if you guys ever climb in, like when you get on a plane, just, you know, you can be real smart about it and start talking to the pilots about, make sure, you know, you can ask him, hey, is your attitude gauge working good today? So when you get off and he says good, you can throw out some real aviation stuff. Proverbs chapter 3. This just wraps it all up. I mean, this just puts a bow on it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, or he shall direct thy heading. Heading's just a direction. It just is it's a bearing that they give you. It's in nautical, it's in air, it's in cars, it's your little maps program. That's where you're going. Nice thing, an aircraft, you can go straight, usually. You don't have to go through the roads. You set your bearing, and that's where you head. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. This is exactly what we're talking about between visual and instrument rating. If you're going to lean unto your own understanding, then you're a visually rated Christian. You're going to suffer the consequences of when things are good. Your emotions are going to be like, oh, Mike, this is wonderful. I love following God. And then when things aren't good, you're going to be like, this is miserable. This is horrible. I don't want to do this. And then you're going to just, like, there's no sustainability in that. There's no sustainability. There's, I mean, visually rated pilots are great, but everybody knows, like, they're just fair weather flyers. That's what they are. Like, that's the joke. They're fair weather flyers. They only fly when the weather's nice, which is not that difficult. But the real meat and potatoes of the pilot and the aircraft and aviation world is the guys that know how and aren't afraid to go right through a red and green scenario that's on the thing, because they've got to get from A to B, and there's a storm in between, and they're trained to go do it. There's no question. It's like, yeah, there's no problem. I can get through there. Well, can you get through that? Oh, yeah, I can get through there. I've been trained. I can get through that spot in my life without seeing. I don't need to see. I'm not looking to see. I'm not waking up asking God, can I see? I'm waking up saying, I have something that's telling me I'm going to get there. It's good enough for me. I'm going to get there. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. Check your attitude. Check your altimeter. Check your airspeed. And check your heading. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Not complicated, but very, very necessary. Stand up. Closing up. The FAA reports that 80%, this is an amazing, amazing number. 80% of all accidents and deaths are caused by human error. 80% of all issues in aviation were preventable, basically. 80% of them were human error. 20% of them were mechanical failures that it just was going to be what it was going to be. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I wonder when we get to heaven, what will that percentage be in my own life or in the church's life? Lord, be like, hey, there's like 50% of that stuff you didn't even have to really mess around and go through. Like, if we need to get back to doing the very basics, right, and get through a checkup. I'm guessing you guys all did good. You got all A's and B's today. But remember this, check your attitude, check your altitude, check your airspeed, and check your bearing. Trust in the Lord with all your might, and do not lean to your own understanding. Go and be blessed. Amen.